the way for like 60 years.
I was going to say forever.
How long have we had the phone?
Like 60 years.
More than that.
So they're claiming the system got hacked and they couldn't control it and they had to take the server offline. I don't know that this is true yet. And I'm putting a very skeptical eye on this story right now. There are a lot of reasons why a server goes down.
And it's not always because someone's hacked. Like, I mean, it's there's a whole episode of South Park about that. Yeah. They're like, the internet's gone. Yeah. They just go and unplug it and plug it back in.
Yeah. It's, what is it? Oh, it was a Steinbeck novel where they're all going west.
Oh,
The Grapes of Wrath.
Grapes, I was going to say. Yeah, it's of Mice and Men.
Yeah, it's The Grapes of Wrath. And when they get, and when they finally get there, like, Stan unplugs the router and plugs it in again, and the internet comes back. And it's, yeah, this could well be that. I am not inclined to believe the hysterical ravings of government officials who may or may not understand technology. You get somebody from the Justice Department or somebody who is a professional security consultant to come out and say, yes, there was an intrusion here, and yes, they shut this down, then I'll take that story seriously.
Well, I think part of the reason that they were, you know, that this was such a knee-jerk, like, this is what happened, was that just a couple days ago, Atlanta was struck by a ransomware attack. And that one actually, and it interrupted bill collection services.
Yeah, but that was some punks looking for Bitcoin.
And that's, I was going to say, that one was actually like a U.S. like senior cybersecurity official was like, yeah, this is an actual thing. But I think that this Baltimore one, maybe they're just like, oh my God, it happened to us too.
Our server's offline. It's hackers.
It's got to be hackers because that just happened in Atlanta and that's only like 1,000 miles from here.
Yeah. No, the Atlanta thing.
I guess no. Atlanta's what, like 500 miles from, it doesn't matter.
The Atlanta thing, the computers in their, and their collections department got taken over by hackers who were looking for Bitcoin. That's like amateur level hacking right there. That's, you know what that is? Somebody opened Bitcoin. The wrong email. Somebody got phished and gave up access credentials.
Got an email that said like nude pictures of Anna Kournikova.
Yeah, either that or you've got a completely unsecured server somewhere. I mean, that's amateur hour hacking. That's not, trust me. When the Russians intrude into your system, they don't shut down your computers and ask for Bitcoin. Remember when North Korea
threw you over entirely.
Remember when North Korea hacked Sony over that Seth Rogen movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What was that movie
The
called?
Interview?
The Interview, yeah.
They didn't shut the computers down and ask for Bitcoin.
They just got mad.
They destroyed everything, okay? When state-level actors are trying to gain access to government systems, one of the things that they do is make sure they can't be caught. So here's my guess. If it turns out that, yes, the 911 system was hacked, you're going to find out it was some bored teenagers that did it.
Yeah, just seeing if they could.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a very good point, because stuff like that is usually people... Well, that's what Bill Gates, if you ever listen to interviews with him, he talks about what he did when he was a teenager, and he literally admitted to... He's like, we used to just hack into stuff and like try to mess with computers just to see if we could, to see how much we were capable of.
Steve Wozniak was famous for his ability to make free phone calls on payphones, because he'd figured out a code to hack the payphones. They called it freaking back in the day. And he was one of the biggest freakers in California. Everyone in California knew that about him. The problem with this Baltimore story is that it feeds into this hysteria that's out there right now, that the Russians are hacking us and the Russians are coming and the Russians are going to destroy us. No. Okay? If you've got some public official running around saying, I think it's hackers, please ignore that person until you get actual verification. It's WMFO Medford. This is me, isn't it?
Excuse me. Tis. Hey,
Schlitterman.
Schlitterman?
Schlitterman.
Nope.
I'll also give you Verrückt as a potential clue for this. Yes.
Something Russian?
No. This is a follow-up on a story that predates, that occurred during the Shea hiatus.
The hiatus that took place on the show. When I was in that terrible city.
Co-owner Jeff Henry of Schlitterman was arrested in Texas after a grand jury indicted him and the water park, Schlitterbahn as the water park, in the decapitation death of 10-year-old Caleb Schwab.
Oh, yes. I remember this.
Onverrucht billed as the world's tallest water slide. Experts say the indictment showed extreme disregard for human life. That's a quote. Extreme disregard for human life, actually, in the indictment.
Oh, my God.
And said that the slide was opened despite warnings because the owner wanted to be on Travel Channel's Extreme Water Parks. So, Verrucht was the world's tallest water slide at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with it was, initially, the rafts would not go up the second hill. So, they put water jets to help them go up the second hill.
Which
would launch them
like,
off
I would say, which
the
like launch them
top
in
of the
air.
Second hill. Yeah. So, they put nets over the top that were held in place with aluminum bars.
Oh.
And when this kid was riding on the thing, the raft launched off the top and his head was cut off on one of the aluminum bars. And his 12-year-old brother stood at the bottom of the water slide and watched the whole thing happen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This guy's going to jail.
Yes. Yes, 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 he is. Beg your pardon. Stephon Clark.
Stephon Clark.
Or Stevante Clark.
Still, is that who bit Beyonce?
No, that's not who bit Beyonce.
Okay. I keep hearing about who bit Beyonce.
That was me, Derek.
Oh, you bit Beyonce?
Yeah.
Please don't bite Beyonce.
But her butt looks so luscious.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist.
No, someone bit her face.
No, the brother of Stephon Clark, who's the unarmed African-American man that was killed in the hail of bullets in Sacramento.
I was watching the protests over the weekend.
He shut down a city council meeting yesterday by delivering a profanity-filled complaint about the city's treatment of minority residents. The young man, Stephonte Clark, approached the council about 20 minutes into a special community meeting that was called to address the police shooting of his brother on March 18th. Police said two officers fired 20 rounds at Clark, who was found to be in possession of a cell phone, not a weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, there've been ongoing protests out in Sacramento over this that haven't really been hitting the mainstream media because there hasn't been any violence.
Well,
people are protesting peacefully.
And if you watch, I highly recommend looking up the video for anyone listening who doesn't know this story. This poor kid, I mean, you can tell he has like his friends behind him, but he does keep swearing, which is kind of funny to see in a city council chamber.
I think there should be more of that in the city council meeting, personally.
But he's so passionate about just that this has to stop. But as you said, that's what it's ironic and sad that this story hasn't gotten very much grift, it hasn't really been picked up very much because it's not violent. And I mean, I think that's very telling about what we pay attention to and what we put in the news. Whereas, you know, like this is something that we've seen happen so many times. And when the protests get violent, like if you think of Ferguson, if the protests get violent, it's the biggest news story for
wall-to-wall coverage all night long.
And this is just as horrific. And yet, I mean, I read the story and I was talking to somebody at work about it and they were like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I am glad though that that he even had the opportunity to do that. Even if nothing happens in terms of, as we were talking about before with the March for Our Lives, even if nothing happens as a result, the sheer fact that he was able to stand up for his brother, just the catharsis that I can imagine he must have felt.
Yeah.
Even if nothing changes as a result.
Vote those clowns out.
Yeah. Right.
Organize. Vote them out. Dan Schneider.
Oh my God, I had this. Dan Schneider, look at my notes. It's a Nickelodeon guy.
Yes.
I forget what happened though.
He's been all but fired after 25 years producing their top live action shows, including iCarly, Victorious.
I was going to say, he's the iCarly guy.
Zoe 101, Sam and Cat, and Henry Danger, which is their current hit. Remember the name Dan Schneider. is all I'm going to say right now. Remember the name, because we are going to be talking about him again at some point, probably in the not too distant future, and it is going to be one of the most horrifying and creepy things we talk about this year.
Oh, no.
Worse than Weinstein.
I was going to say, another one bites the dust.
Yeah. Just remember the name, Dan Schneider. Keep an eye out for the headlines. They are not going to be pleasant.
One more for me, right?
Yes.
Interstitium.
Inter what now?
Interstitium.
You made that up.
I big fat did not.
Use it in a sentence. Spell it. Interstit.
I-N-T-E-R-S-T-I-T-I-U-M.
Interstitium. That is a period of time in between two other things.
Sort of. Inter means between.
It is a space between two other things.
Sistere means to place. So it literally means between the other places.
Between two spaces. Interstitium. Word of the year?
It's going to be.
Okay. No, didn't come across any interstitium stories this week.
Scientists said in a study that was published yesterday that they may have stumbled upon a previously unknown organ, one of the biggest in the human body, and one that could significantly advance our understanding of cancer and many other diseases.
I want you to double check. This is that thing in the abdomen that connects like everything to... I want you to double check the date on that story, because that is a year old.
No, it's not. It was released literally on NBC News today.
I heard that story more than a year ago. I know I did.
Nah.
I know I did, because it's
now I'm looking it up.
As soon as you said the biggest organ in the human, the newly discovered organ, I told you exactly what it was. And I heard that one.
Well, you said it because you knew Latin.
It may be because I'd heard about preliminary reports about the study and they finally just released it. All right. So they finally just released the study. Yes, there's another organ in the human body.
Well, no. I mean, I was so excited to talk about it.
No, go. Tell people what it is, because it's goofy.
Yeah, it is weird. But the research published yesterday in the journal Scientific Reports suggests that a network of dense connective tissues and fluid-filled compartments called the interstitium is a full-fledged organ. That is a group of tissues with a unique structure performing a specialized task like the heart or the liver. More than two-thirds of the human body is water, most of that contained inside cells. Much of the rest, about 20% of the fluid in the body, is, quote, interstitial. That fluid and tissues connecting them are called the interstitium, and they're found throughout the body, just below the skin, and in the digestive, respiratory, and urinary systems. Whether the interstitium is an actual separate organ remains to be determined by further research, but either way, its understanding means, to quote one of the scientists, a significant reassessment of anatomy affecting every organ of the body.
Is that where the fat comes from? Is that where my fat goes when I get fat? Because that's in the area that gets fat,
I mean,
isn't it?
I was going to say, the interstitium is literally just like all the stuff in between all of the other organs we already know. But they originally just thought that it was like a big old mess of tissue and it was didn't really affect anything other than cushioning. And now they're like, oh, wow, this is actually an organ.
Hmm. Yeah, it's actually holding everything together.
Yeah.
Keeping your guts where they belong.
Well, it is crazy to think about, though, just that, I mean, it's just like when they suddenly were like, no, Pluto's not a planet. Like, it's weird to think there are things that we just kind of take as... Oh, Tufts is on fire. It's not really, guys. That's the siren. We hear sirens.
You know, back when I was a kid, we had one more planet and one less organ, and we liked it that way.
But it is, I mean, in terms of especially thinking about the reason I found this story so interesting is thinking about the way cancer spreads. An understanding of this as an organ as opposed to just like a whole mess of stuff in between our organs the possibilities of advancements in curing cancer are mind-boggling because this is the first time that they're actually considering this as like its own, obviously it's a living part of our body as everything in our body is, but as its own unique system, as its own unique and powerful system. I just found it interesting. And you've totally burst my bubble by saying that I came out of here.
No, yeah. Because it's...
Because it did. You probably read like the first research about it, but like the article published yesterday was like them being like, this is happening.
I got you. All right. I didn't know that anyone had followed up on it. I remember hearing it a year ago, and there's this thing that happens where...
I even
where,
looked up how to pronounce it properly.
There's this thing that happens where like stories a year old on the internet get resurfaced in Google, and then some reporter who doesn't know what they're doing and can't read dates puts it on the news, and they're like, hey, this is new. You know, Joe Blow just died, and everyone's like, Joe Blow died 3 years ago. Like, what?
I would say, well, no, now that I'm looking, just for the record, so that's, I found that on NBC News and then looked at a couple other articles about it just to follow up on it, but this one's 12 hours ago, this one's 1 hour ago,
yeah,
this one's
right.
4 hours ago.
You're good. You're good. That's cool. Last one for you, Roseanne.
They are doing a reboot of the show Roseanne.
It's already done.
Well, it's, I mean, it's done, but it's... And it's going to be the original cast along with some newbies.
It was on last night.
Oh, I didn't realize it was on last night.
See? That's why you don't get the point. Not only was it on last night, 18.2 million viewers.
What?
That is the highest rated comedy broadcast since 2014. That is more viewers than tuned in for the Roseanne finale in 1997.
Wow.
And that is more viewers in the adult demographic than the Stormy Daniels interview pulled on Sunday night, which was the highest rated 60 minutes in years at 22 million users or viewers.
People love Roseanne.
Now, keep in mind, this is the pro-Trump sitcom, Roseanne, that's on right now. 18.2 million viewers. Do you think, Shea Spillane, we're going to get a lot of think pieces now about how we need more programming aimed at conservative Americans? Or do you think no?
God, I hope not.
Yeah, I'm going with it. I think no. I don't think anybody's going to...
Well, and it's not even... I mean, I think that the sheer fact that that's the way that you're framing it is...
If this
is
was
very indicative of things we've already talked about so many times, which is, it's not even just that it's like the pro-Trump whatever. It's middle America... Lower middle class.
But here's the thing. If this was a reboot of That's So Raven, everyone would be talking about, well, this proves that we just need more black sitcoms on TV. Because look, everybody tuned in. So
I don't know how many people would tune into the reboot of That's So Raven.
A lot of people liked Raven.
I mean, I did like That's So Raven. I was a fan.
You know.
That's true.
But yeah, Roseanne resonating. We'll see. And it actually did better in its... They broadcast two episodes back to back last night. Second episode did better than the first.
Oh, I mean, and that's pretty indicative of people going on the internet, calling, like, texting their friends, being like, yo, you've got to watch the reboot of Roseanne.
Yeah. Paula Poundstone shows up. My old college buddy gets more money because he created that character. And now he writes cards for Magic the Gathering. Charmed life, that guy. 855-915-9636. That is the telephone number. On the Town with Mikey D, that's what comes up at 9 o'clock. Here next, Cambridge Analytica, your data on Facebook, why this story matters to you, why you should be paying attention and possibly changing your behavior as a result of this, and why a lot of it is just overblown garbage, because there's a big chunk of that going on here, too. We will get to all of that coming up next here on WMFO Medford. But first, if there was one really, really good thing, amazing thing, other than the march this past weekend that came out of this entire movement, it is this song, which features two Broadway luminaries singing pieces of music from the shows that made them huge.
Reached our glory, but I will gladly join the fight. And when our children tell their story, they'll tell the story of tonight. They'll tell the story of tonight. Tonight.
Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall and no one would hear?
Well, let that lonely feeling wash away.
All we see is life.
'Cause maybe there's a reason to believe you'll be okay.
For
'cause when you don't feel strong enough to stand, you can reach out your hand and hold.
Raise a glass to freedom, something they can never take away. No matter what they tell you,
someone will come running to take you home.
Raise a glass to all of us. Tomorrow there'll be more of us, telling the story of tonight.
Out of the shadows, the morning is breaking.
Crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So let the sun come streaming in, 'cause you'll reach up and you'll rise again. If you only look around, you will be found. And when our children tell their story,
you will be found.
They'll tell the story of tonight. They tell you
tomorrow there'll be more of us,
telling the story of tonight. The story of tonight. The
international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Do you like violence?
Yeah,
wanna
yeah,
see
yeah.
me stick 9-inch nails to each one of my eyelids?
Uh-huh. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. And tonight, we shall be talking about Cambridge Analytica and how they know absolutely everything about everyone. Basically, there was a whistleblower. You may have a better grasp on this than I do, Derek. But there's a whistleblower named Christopher Wiley.
Yeah.
And
not liking this guy, by the way, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, he basically called out Cambridge Analytica for a myriad of things, really. The most jaw-dropping was being that they basically gave its clients access to a vast collection of personal information that was pulled off of Facebook somehow.
Yeah.
Largely, and he claimed things as high as to help with the Trump campaign, to contribute to Brexit, to end,
Cambridge Analytica.
His list goes on and on and on and on and on.
Cambridge Analytica is running around telling people they got Trump elected president, which is not even remotely true, but
yeah.
It's a good marketing pitch. So Channel 4
hooked up with this guy, Christopher Wiley, who worked for Cambridge Analytica several years ago.
Yes.
And
goes so far as to claim that his predecessor at Cambridge Analytica was murdered.
We're going to get into that in a minute, because this is where this thing really starts to go off the rails.
Yeah.
When this story broke last week, people who are in my industry and people who are in politics started paying attention to it, because it seemed to be a story of a company that had ties to MI6, that had ties to Mossad, that had ties to the CIA, engaging in the sort of James Bondian dirty tricks that we assume take place in international politics. And one of the tools that they were using to do this was Facebook data. So here's some insight from somebody who works in this industry. This is what I do during the day. I am a digital marketer. I make creepy ads follow you around. Okay.
That was you. Thanks so much.
Well, it depends on what you're into. Okay. If you're into power plants, I'm making creepy ads follow you around.
Who's into power plants? Sorry.
A lot of people who need power. As everyone who uses Facebook knows, Facebook gathers data on you. Every time you say you like something, every time you post something, every time you make a connection with somebody, Facebook adds to this master file that it has, this digital picture of you that you have painted of yourself, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, by sharing information with Facebook. In the normal course of operations, a company like mine cannot get access to that profile. No one outside of Facebook is supposed to have access to that information.
To that
big data file that tells them everything about you. What we can do is we can buy ads against it. Okay? So I can go to Facebook and I can say, listen, I want jazz fans between the age of 35 and 40 with a particular affinity for Dave Brubeck, who live within 40 miles of Tupelo, Mississippi. And Facebook will say, all right, here they are.
Yeah, here's the list.
And then I can put up an ad saying, hey, Dave Brubeck's playing in Tupelo. And everybody's like, oh, I'm glad you told me that.
Thank you. I love Dave Brubeck. How'd you know?
Or if I am in the business of predictive analytics, which is what Cambridge Analytica claimed to be doing, I could say, okay, our research shows that Dave Brubeck fans near Tupelo, Mississippi, really can't get enough ho-hos. So because you have identified yourself as a Dave Brubeck fan near Tupelo, Mississippi, I'm going to show you ho-ho ads. And you're going to run out to the supermarket and you're going to buy ho-hos.
Well, and what's crazy about this, you know, I was reading the science behind how Cambridge Analytica pulls this off. And as you said, I mean, I think that most of us are not naive. We know that we live in a world where we're under a microscope, where everything can be traced, everything can be followed. But I think most people looked at it as, oh, well, if I like a certain page on Facebook, or if I list as that I like this band in my profile, they're going to know this. They turn, according to many of the things that I've read, they literally make a psychological profile of you.
Yes.
Based on like just random people's statuses that you like anything. If somebody says, oh, I'm going to a Pink Floyd laser show, and it's just some random person in Philadelphia and you like it, that gets put into an algorithm of you as a computerized person.
This is nascent right now. This is the new frontier of digital marketing, which is attempting to figure out what we don't know about you based on your profile.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I know, because I've seen this and I've seen a lot of data to back this up, is that people who drive pickup trucks are more likely to be dog lovers. And people who drive Subarus are more likely to be dog lovers. Now, I am not going to go and tell dog lovers that they should buy a Subaru. Some advertisers might. I wouldn't. But some advertisers might.
Or at least subtly so, like having a Subaru ad with a dog in a Subaru.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Is I'll look at that and I'll say, okay, we get a lot of dog lovers here. put a dog in the commercial. And you may recall there were those Subaru ads with the golden retrievers. One of them is the golden retriever driving the puppy around in the car seat.
Yes, I was going to say I remember that.
There's a reason why they made ads with dogs, is because a link has been found between dog lover and Subaru driver. So if you love Subaru, you are very likely to be a dog lover. And they're trying to see if the opposite is true as well. If you're a dog lover, are you more likely to want Subaru?
So what's it called? A horizontal synergy?
Yes. But we're in the realm of guesswork, and we don't have access to those full, complete profiles in the back end. This is where this story becomes meaningful. There was a professor at Cambridge University in England who developed a personality profile. He paid people to take it, and he got information about them, but he also got access to all of the information on their friends. So he had a sample group of 243,000 people who used this app. And in addition to getting all of their data, he got the data on around 50 million other people who were connected to those people. And we're not talking about name, address. We're talking about that full, big, thick, meaty profile.
Yeah, like everything about you.
That everything picture that Facebook has on these 50 million users. Now,
because I mean, knowing your name or your address is not new info. That's anyone can access that information. But
Facebook lets researchers do this. Academics can get access to this. Why? Because Facebook takes the results of their research and uses it to jigger their algorithm to better sell you ads. That's what it's all about. That's what they're doing. So Cambridge Analytica, I don't know where this crosstalk is coming from.
Yeah.
Cambridge Analytica, which was created by Steve Bannon and Robert Mercer and Rebecca Mercer, finds out about this study. And they want to get this. They want this data. Everybody in the industry would love to get their hands on this data. They can't get it. Okay. Christopher Wiley is working for Cambridge Analytica at this point. And he finds a university researcher, someone else at Cambridge, named Alexander Kogan. And what Alexander Kogan does is he says, I will recreate that data set for you. Forget, because the original professor is like, I can't give that up. I signed an agreement with Facebook. I'm not allowed to share that. Alexander Kogan comes along and he's like, sure, let's do it. I'll recreate the study. So they give him $1 million. He recreates the study. They get their 50 million users. Full data on 50 million users in the United States of America. Which means one out of six people.
That's gross.
Or if we go by the fact that only a third of the United States is on Facebook.
I was going to say, is on Facebook. That's
one out of every three people.
I was going to say, that's almost everyone. And it, especially if you try to factor in that they probably did this mostly with people 18 and up. And
yeah,
most, this day and age, most people begin to use Facebook around the age of 13 or 14.
Despite
the fact that that's technically against the rules. But
now, it is illegal for them to have this data in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
As a commercial advertiser, they are not allowed to have it. It is a violation of UK privacy laws for them to have this data. But they've got it. And what do they do with it? They put it into this realm of predictive analytics. And the first thing that they do is they write their own algorithms that basically look at everything that is in a person's profile and assign psychological types to them. Are you hysterical? Are you neurotic? Are you stoic? And they break everybody up into these groups with the idea of figuring out how to target messages toward them. They then identify whether or not you are a conservative or a liberal, where you live in the country. Are you likely to be a Hillary Clinton voter, a Bernie Sanders voter, or a Donald Trump voter? And they target advertising into those groups.
Well, that's, and on the one hand, I thought that it was very interesting what Tim Cook today, who's the CEO of Apple, and a lot of it obviously comes from a place of competition. But he slammed Facebook today for all of this, saying, like, as much as I think he made a very good point, because he basically said, as much as, you know, it is up to the user to monitor how much personal information they do or do not divulge on this website, at the same time, it's not supposed to be, it's supposed to be, like, if anything, the information that they put out, he said this much more eloquently than I am right now, but everything that everyone puts out is supposed to be like self-regulation. It's supposed to be just based on, this is information I feel comfortable having with the public that I'm presenting it to, not this is information that I want to be absorbed and analyzed and put into test tubes. And it creates a question of how much value it has and how detrimental social media can be.
Here's the first thing that anybody using Facebook needs to understand. When it comes to the concept of private information, there is no such thing.
It doesn't exist.
Okay? All of your private messages, everything that you share with a private group, everything that you share with an individual, everything that's a direct message, everything on Messenger, everything that you think is private on Instagram, all goes into the same database.
And it's used. Well, that's the thing, is I think that people don't realize that it's used for things.
The word private in Facebook speak just means they don't show it to everybody. But they still have it.
But they get to look at it. And
they share it amongst themselves.
As I said, I think that that's where this is kind of such a shock to your average Facebook user, is that I think that that's a concept, even though, I mean, once you say it out loud, it's like, obviously, everyone that works at Facebook, there's obviously some codes, some passwords, some this, that, or the other thing, that if they want to get anything on anyone's profile, even if it is a private message, something like that, they're going to be able to do it.
Sure.
But it's something that until now would not have occurred to your average Facebook user. They probably think, as I said, they'd think, oh, the things on my profile, the things that I post publicly, all of that obviously can probably be seen, but you don't think about the flirty messages I send back and forth with the guy I like, that there's some Facebook employee that can just sit there and read those.
Yeah, there is.
Like, things like that, you don't think about that until something like this happens and you're like, oh my God, this is, I mean, there's a reason that criminals try to do all of their correspondence in person.
In order for that message to be read by someone else, it is stored on a server. The second it goes on a server, you lose control of it, and Facebook gains control of it. It's that simple. That's how it works. And you're right. That is why criminals meet face-to-face.
Yeah.
Because nothing is kept on a server anywhere. Now, I will tell you, every marketing company, every digital marketer, every advertising agency on the planet would love nothing more than to get that database.
Oh, I imagine so. Are you kidding?
That database is our holy grail, because if you know what you're doing, you can come up with all kinds of campaign targeting based on that, all kinds of messaging based on that. You can find connections between groups of people that no one ever knew existed, and you can make a lot of money. Or you can do what Cambridge Analytica did, and you can use it to attempt to influence a political campaign. Uh-huh. And I use the word attempt.
Yeah, because they are taking way too much deliberately.
Credit. Now, I mentioned that this broke on Channel 4. Mm-hmm. And I followed all the Channel 4 reporting on this. And for the first couple of days, I was looking at it and I was saying to myself, you know what? You got a couple of senior executives here giving you a lot of marketing spin that, as somebody in the industry, I know is puffery and exaggeration and probably meaningless. And you're taking it as fact because somebody during a sales meeting, which is what they did, they posed as a potential client. Somebody during a sales meeting said, hey, we helped elect Donald Trump. Let me tell you something. I have helped elect political candidates. And if somebody sat me down in a sales meeting, I would sit there and say, yes, we helped elect that guy. Honestly, realistically, the amount of influence that we personally had is very difficult to quantify. And this is the great secret. This is the smoke and mirrors of digital marketing. Here's where this starts to fall apart. Because day four of the coverage, guess who shows up on Channel 4? Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is on camera. They've sat her down. They're doing an interview. Well, this is clearly part of the reason why I lost the election. And at that exact moment, the credibility...
I'm sorry, but come on.
At that exact moment, the credibility of this story goes out the window. Because now we have another facet of the Hillary Clinton blame everybody but myself for the loss. And this is the latest form, Shay, of the Russia investigation. This is what this is.
Well, and again, what I was saying earlier about, what's that idiot porn star's name?
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels.
Hey, Stormy.
It's again, this is, we're going about this the wrong way. Like, it discredits the fight to be like, no, I don't want Donald Trump to be our president, to have just absurd things like this. Be the attempted impetus to get him out of office. And what I find, honestly, the thing that I found most compelling about the story is how much they take credit for.
Yeah.
Because so the parent company of Cambridge Analytica is a company called SCL Elections, and that's what was supposedly apparently hired by the Trump campaign. But if you look at, there's actually a map on, if you go to Quartz Media, they actually illustrated a map for you.
They claim to have coined the phrase defeat crooked Hillary, by the way.
And cute. Well, they also claim to have been responsible for election wins in, if you look at the map, it's 100 election campaigns in over 30 countries spanning five continents. Like, you look, they're taking credit for, let's see, there's the United States.
A lot of them are in Asia and Africa.
I didn't say United States. India, Italy, the United Kingdom, Philippines. Like, I'm just, and this is just from South Africa.
Yeah.
This is just from me looking at the map and trying to remember geography class from eighth grade. But the sheer fact that this is totally illegal and totally, like, what they've done is totally illegal and totally just gross. And they're just like, look how awesome we are at doing this thing.
But here's the thing. We don't know that any of what they've done is illegal. We know that having the Facebook data was illegal. But that's the one illegal thing that we've got here.
But on top of that, I mean, we don't know that any of the credit they're claiming for these elections are true.
This kid, Christopher Wiley, goes in front of Parliament in the United Kingdom a couple of days after his appearance on Channel 4. And tells Parliament that his predecessor was poisoned in his hotel room because apparently his predecessor was working as a double agent during a presidential election, and a deal went bad and he was poisoned, and then the police were bribed to stay out of the hotel room so that they couldn't figure out he had been poisoned. This is pure fantasy, ladies and gentlemen. Christopher Wiley has zero credibility.
Yeah, usually...
If you're going to sit in front of a government panel and start telling
3.5 hours
and start telling Jason Bourne stories, I got no use for you. You have no credibility. The guys from Cambridge Analytica on the sales meeting saying, oh, yeah, we did this and this and this, they have no credibility. That is a sales pitch. It is riddled with lies. I hate to condemn my industry that way. And my company does not, full disclosure, my company does not behave like this. But there are a lot of companies out there that will lie through their teeth to get a big value contract.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I know we don't lie because the work lands on my desk and then I have to make good on it. So I'm pretty upfront about how we represent ourselves. So Hillary Clinton's involved in this. Wiley is unreliable. The two guys that they got on tape are unreliable. But here's the real problem. It's the claim that we got Donald Trump elected. Hang on a second. And this is the question that I want you, the listener, to ask yourself. Name one person you know. One person. I defy you to call me. 855-915-9636. One person.
Oh, who decided, God with throne.
Who decided to vote for Donald Trump because they saw an ad on Facebook. Find one person.
That's an excellent point.
And even if you find one, you know what? You got to find 2 million. And let me tell you something. Those 2 million people don't exist. They don't exist.
Unless there are bots voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah. This is the most nonsensical claim ever. Everyone in America knew who Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were going into the election. They had made up their minds. As soon as the conventions were done, everyone had made up their minds. There wasn't some block of swing voters that was out there.
Yeah, saying, just being like,
wow. That anti-Hillary Clinton ad has really swayed me.
People, before even the primaries, like, if people were for Donald Trump, they were for Donald Trump. There's very few people that voted for a different conservative or any different person in the primaries that suddenly were like, you know what? Trump's a good idea. People who are for Trump were for Trump from the get-go, from the moment he threw his hat in the ring. And that's my point, is that as much as, like, I mean, this is so gross and invasive, but the most annoying part to me is just this grandiose claim that them doing this gross, invasive thing won one of the most important elections in the world. Like, that they just felt that they felt, what's the word I'm looking for? They felt pompous enough to say, oh, it was us. But like, we totally did this.
But it's a sales meeting. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to sit there and say, well, maybe we had an impact. It was, oh, yeah, we elected the guy. Didn't happen. Here's why this is relevant to you. Not because Donald Trump got elected because of this, because he didn't. It had zero impact. Maybe he got 10,000 votes out of this. I'd consider that impressive. This matters to you because this proves that there is a massive database about you that gets bigger every time you post something on Facebook.
That makes me really sick to think about. And they must think I'm an absolute pervert.
Somebody is writing up a psychological profile about you based on this. Are you comfortable with that? You should not be. Because you should always be aware of people making lists. You should always be aware of people using data. And Facebook isn't just using your data. They're letting anybody get their hands on it. Because there are no safeguards, no controls in place. You know what Facebook did when they found out Cambridge Analytica had the data? They sent an email saying, please destroy the data. They sent an email. Can you please destroy that data that you're not supposed to have? Chris Wiley writes back and says, oh, I already destroyed it. What he didn't tell them was that 8 other people in Cambridge Analytica also had it.
All have it, yeah.
And he wasn't working there anymore, so it's not his problem. What do you tell your kids? Don't post naked pictures of yourself on the internet because they never go away. What happens when 50 million users worth of Facebook data gets out? It never goes away.
Well, it is crazy, actually, when to think about now, like looking back when I worked for Mascan, I started working from the first thing got posted of me for Mascan. And every time I flew after that, I'd have SSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSS I broke ties with Mascan again, only via the only place this would have been, this information would have been available is just on Facebook, on the internet. Next time I flew, like a month and a half later, all of a sudden, no SSS.
Oh, don't think the Federales aren't in there.
Like,
they know what you're doing.
Again, I'm sorry. The only word I can think of is gross. Like, it's gross to think that there are just these random people combing through your personal information. Which, again, though, as I said before, and as the CEO of Apple pointed out, even though this is obviously a completely, like, this is so far over the line, at the end of the day, it is your responsibility how much you put out there and how much you allow them to discover about you.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe if you're doing a pot deal, just meet in person.
You saw any of those Defeat Crooked Hillary video ads, you know Cambridge Analytica got your data. 855-915-9636. On the Tal Mikey D, coming your way in less than 15 minutes. But before that, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
I'm not afraid to I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
The cab swerved. I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. We are wrapping up the big picture here. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary.
Hi there.
And now for What's Hot, which is our favorite thing from the past or coming week. And as I have a habit to do, I am going to make a shameless plug about myself. Hey, where else do I get to do that? Hey, Joel's excited about it. But this Saturday, I'll be performing with Jim Colladen at Nick's Comedy Stop in the Theater District. Jim is utterly hilarious, and I promise you do not want to miss this show. He's so great. Like, I would go even if I wasn't on the show. But there are some tickets still available, but they will sell out quickly. So get over to nickscomedystop.com and book them.
You know what? I'm going to do a shameless plug, too.
Get it.
Because
that's what all the cool kids are doing.
I can disrespect our audience the same way that you do. Tomorrow night.
I'm not disrespecting them. Some of them have asked me when they can see me do comedy, so I'm telling them.
Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Scotty Lombardo will be hosting a farewell to Laughter at the End of the World.
I'm going
to
be there, too.
At the Tavern at the End of the World. That is over on, it's on Washington
Street. Cambridge Street. It's right after Washington Street becomes Cambridge.
Cambridge Street over near Sullivan Station. And people who have been part of the show off and on through the years, and myself, will all be getting up on stage telling stories.
That's where I did my first set, was at Tavern at the End of the World.
Telling jokes should be a fun, fun night.
It should indeed.
So that's tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, Tavern at the End of the World. Come on down. We'd be happy to see you. If you're going to be stuck at home, I highly recommend that you check out Wild Wild Country on Netflix. This is a new 6-part documentary on the Bagram Sri Rajneesh and his followers. If you are of a certain age, you remember the Rajneeshis and you remember Bagram Sri Rajneesh as the guru who had 80 Rolls Royces and all of his wild sex cult followers out in Oregon. What you may not know is that this group was responsible for the second largest biological terror attack in United States history. And this documentary goes through everything from the earliest days of their arrival in Oregon through the United States basically chasing the Bhagwan's Learjet across the country to try and arrest him. It is fascinating. Not just as a document of sort of the whacked out new age stuff that was going on in the late 70s and early 80s, but also in the way that our political system can be exploited and how well these people exploited it. Because the reason behind the terror attack was they were trying to keep people from voting so that they could take over a county commission. It is a fascinating, fascinating story. A lot of it is told through archival news footage and documentary footage. So you're seeing people, hearing people in their own voices.
Oh, I love that.
That's the best kind of documentary. It's called Wild Wild Country. It's on Netflix. Very, very highly recommended.
Where's your head at? WMFO Medford 91.5. We are wrapping up the big picture here with That's a Thing That Happened, which is the craziest news story from last week. For me, as our favorite state for this section,
Florida.
A Florida woman sat in the McDonald's at which she worked and told cops about her long-term sexual relationship with her baby's father,
who also happens to be her brother. After this Friday lunchtime conversation in Leesburg, Lake County Sheriff's Office detectives arrested Pauline Martin, 33, on a charge of incest, adding a resisting arrest charge on the way to the car. The man who online records point to as the father was not arrested. According to the affidavit, Martin's youngest child was born November 21st and immediately needed to be hustled to the Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies, 50 miles away in Orlando. Department of Children and Families was called when neither Martin nor the baby's father filled out any paperwork to move the child into a home for medically complex children. Genetic testing of the child showed his mother and father were close relatives. During the investigation into the unfinished paperwork, she did admit to DCF that her brother was the child's father, but she remained free until the sheriff's office deputies visited her at her job on Friday. The detective's description of this conversation begins, "During an interview with the defendant at her workplace, McDonald's, she advised that she had been in a romantic relationship with her brother for 5 years. She said he is her son's father and he is aware. Detectives say Martin told them she was ending the sexual sibling relationship because she knows it is wrong and she's now talking to another man. When asked the last time she had sex with her brother, the report says Martin told detectives that it was the night before."
Yeah.
I have a brother and it hurt my soul to even...
There has been a lot of incest in the news lately. I just want to point that out as a general observation.
Billions of other people, right?
Yeah, but there's been a lot of incest in the news lately, and a lot of people having babies via incest in the news lately. Whatever is behind this trend, please let it stop.
Yeah, please. We're not biblical, or this isn't even biblical time stuff. This is just nasty.
Yeah, your sister's not that hot, guy. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I saw her picture. Trust me, she's not.
Pennsylvania. There's something different. Cabin fever and an endless winter took a toll on Corporal Scott Martin of the Monroe County Sheriff's Office. Corporal Monroe created an online wanted poster for Punxsutawney Phil, the state's official Groundhog Day groundhog, on charges of deception, claiming that Phil had predicted 6 more weeks of winter and the promise expired on March 16th. Corporal Martin told a local NBC affiliate, quote, "If anyone sees him, give us a call because we want to take him into custody," end quote. That's not sitting well with Jefferson County Sheriff Carl Gottwald, who pledged to Inside Edition that, quote, "What we're going to do is make sure Phil has no trouble from anybody or any bounty hunters," end quote. So the...
That would be a pretty badass hat to be made out of Punxsutawneyville.
Like,
move over, Davy Crockett.
Given
my furs.
Given what happened with us last week, I am fully in favor of...